Hello, everybody. It's Thursday night, March 16th, 9:10 p.m. This is our COS weekly meeting. Welcome. Okay. Anybody want to start in with anything? I just wait for my answer machine here. Let me get this answer machine off. I'll be right back. Boy, going on and on and on my answer machine. She goes, it's not Monday night. You got no meetings tonight. Anyway. That's my sister. She can't get my schedule down no matter what. Not that I got a hell of a schedule or nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I ran across something very interesting this week that you might be interested in, and it came from one of our former members, John Rao, and he was doing some stuff that was sort of kind of in the fiction. He had some knowledge, but he wanted to do things different than us. But I never burned the bridges with him, but he's been working on stuff, and he sent me this video, and I was pretty impressed with the information on it, and you may want to look at it. It uses the charter of the judges, the judiciary, and the Bar Association. He talks about he wanted to make a complaint with the Bar Association and all the trouble, and this isn't John. I don't know who this is. There's a bunch of guys. One of them sounds like that guy Thomas that interviewed John and me. But the information is pretty good, and if you want to know, I'll drop the link to the. It's a video, but it's mostly audio. And he talks about this new charter that they put in that basically takes your local and then your county and then your state and your federal government and throws them into an international arena. See, they want all the judges to be on a global control, and they want them to be above every other branch of government. It's a communist plot, and he explains how it is. And what's nice is he uses their own document and rips it apart, because the communists might be evil, but they're not very smart. So they make these stupid statements, and you can sit there and you can see that they're blatantly in contrast to the Constitution. Very easy to lay it down. He does a very good job. And he shows where they're going with this whole judiciary thing and how they want to keep the judges, and they've used this judicial review and turned it into a judicial, you know, immunity type thing where they're above everybody and you can't even make a motion or do anything. And it's so contradictory. It's almost, if it wasn't so sad, it'd be funny. You have to laugh when you read this thing of the words that they put in and what they're trying to say and how they're trying to give themselves and raise themselves up to this power that they don't have. And he makes the point that he cracks open their code of what they're talking about, and basically he makes the correlation that when these police officers are swearing an oath, they're swearing an oath to this charter, which is an unconstitutional charter. So they're not real officers. They're really committing treason. And all these guys basically are not following the Constitution. They're following a charter that is foreign to the United States government. And I just think he laid it out really well using their documents, using their words. That's what I like about it, that he's using a document that they got out there and shows you this nice flowery language that sounds so good, that's really in direct conflict with the Constitution.
And where are you going to post it?
I don't know where I'm going to post it. It's let me see. It's a YouTube video. Let me see if I can give you the name. Maybe you can go and just type the name into YouTube and it'll come up.
Well, I'm not on YouTube, but maybe I can just Google it.
Well, the video is on YouTube, so I don't know how you're going to get it if you don't go on YouTube.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about Facebook. Yeah.
Just put in the 14th broadcast of the T Raw Show. T space R-O-H space show. The 14th broadcast of the T Raw Show. I don't know if that, I don't know what that stands for. I mean, it's from John Rowe, one of our ex-members. And, but I thought it was really very, very pretty good. It's like an hour and 9 minutes. I didn't even get all the way through it. I'm up to 51 minutes. And the information in it, I think, is very good.
Hey, Gerard.
And, yes.
Did you say he was doing that to expose the bar and their attempts to?
Well, he wanted to make a complaint against the bar, and he tells a story about how. And he said, "Well, how do I make a complaint against the bar?" And so he goes here, and they send him there, and then they go, "Well, you can't do that because they're independent. You got to go here." And he gives the whole runaround with the bar, and ultimately, you can't make a complaint against the bar. They got it set up so nobody answers to nobody, you know? It's like nobody sees the wizard, no way, no how type thing. It's really ridiculous. So that's pretty interesting, you know? And then the judges are just as bad, you know? It's like you can't give directions to a judge in the court. Basically what they're saying is you can't make motions. They turn them right into dictators. With this document that's through the UN, it's a communist subversion and they're claiming they're above, they need to be independent from every other branch. What the hell does that mean? Independent, you know. So they talk about judicial independence instead of judicial review. You know, we have judicial review. We also have nullification. We have all these things, and what they're doing is they're trying to supplant them with this other thing, and then they try to blend the two together to give it credibility. But when you read it off of their actual document, it's ridiculous. It really, I mean, it just falls down. And, I mean, if you know anything about the Constitution, you can rip it apart. And that's exactly what he does in this video. He puts the paper up, and he shows you each line, and he goes through it, and he highlights it. You know what I mean? And they're called associations. They got these judge associations, and wow, they've raised these associations. They got state associations, they got federal associations, and they got international associations of judges. And these associations are now running the judiciary, and they have no authority whatsoever. And he makes the point that technically everything they're doing that they've done in the past now is really null and void, because they had no business being part of these associations. I thought it was really good, though. But you know, because
would you repeat the 14th broadcast of what was that?
Of the THE.
Yeah.
And then a space, the word the, and then a space, and then T, all by itself, T space. R-O-H, and one word, and then space, and show. S-H-O-W.
Show.
Right.
Okay.
The T-Raw Show.
Okay.
No, you forgot the 14th broadcast.
The 14th broadcast. Now, I noticed there were other broadcasts, but this is the one that he gave me, and he said they worked a long time to get to here. So, you know, we had problems with him. He was doing stuff and going into the fiction and all that stuff, but it seems like they've made a turn and come to here, and actually this is a good, it seems like they've discovered this, and this is a good thing, which is exactly where we are, and where NLA is actually says the same thing he says, but this takes their own document and shows why we say what we say. I think it's very powerful, and it's right. See, this is where we do fit what other people do. And I mean, I think I want to let them know that this is good. That I think it's great stuff, great research that he's done. You know,
there was a publication yesterday. Is that true?
What do you mean?
It says published March 15, 2017. 144 views. Is that the one you're looking at?
Let me see how many views. Yeah, it must be pretty new because, let me see, it's, yeah, I only got, mine says only 90 views, but it might not be updated.
Could be.
Yeah, it was yesterday. He sent it to me yesterday, and I watched it, I don't even remember if it was yesterday or today, and my days run into each other here, but, yeah, it is 144. I just refreshed it, so it's gone up. But I think, you know, this is good for anybody to understand some of the games that they're playing in the courts and where they're coming from. And it just puts the light on is what it does. And that's what we're about, putting the light on. You know, I mean, that's what your Committee of Safety does. It puts the light on all this baloney, you know, in your community. And knowing this and knowing what they're talking and then if you know this information and you can repeat this stuff, I'll tell you what, you could stymie them. You could ask a couple of questions and they're not going to be able to answer you because this is right where they're at. This is what they're teaching them. This is their association and this is what their oath is to. And this is the crap that they're teaching them that they believe. And it's you know, it's under the United Nations human rights to use all this language and all this stuff. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Constitution. It's actually foreign, and it's treason. And it's very clear to see when he takes this document, this United Nations, this International Association of Judges, which filters right down to your town judge, and he picks it apart. I'll tell you what. I bet you, if you learn this and you can question the judge on these things, you'll have him stuttering because he won't be able to answer you. Or unless he tells the truth, which he won't do. So I think it's a good piece of information. I mean, it's a little over an hour long, but I think it's well worth it. He's got some other videos there. I haven't seen them, but I think this is the culmination of their work, and I think they did a good job on it.
Gerard, is there some kind of treaty? Yeah. Is there some kind of treaty they passed that we don't know about? Some secret agenda, some way?
Well, look at as far there probably is in the United Nations. Between Obama and Clinton, who knows what the hell they signed, you know? But it doesn't matter because you can't sign a treaty or do any kind of agreement that is inimical to the Constitution. I mean, think about it. You think our forefathers would have set something up that a single person or a group of people could sign and violate the terms of the Constitution? I mean, it doesn't make just the same thing like the legislator legislating laws that are unconstitutional. You know, they have no force and effect because they were unconstitutional from the day they were passed, and they didn't give anybody any power, and you could disobey them. And just having this information and being able to articulate it is very powerful, I believe. You know, half the battle is being able to articulate it, but you know. Even being able to articulate it if you can't articulate it with your mouth, at least if you understand this stuff when you're doing your paperwork, you can articulate it in your paperwork because that's the most powerful thing. And just don't stick your foot in your mouth when you're in court, that's all. But this is something that I think that I'm going to talk to John about incorporating, mentioning this particular thing in our court case. I think it bears repeating. and it bears exposure. And I think they did a good job on this because it really exposes, you know, what they're all about and what they're doing. I just think it's great. And, I mean, you know, how does that affect the Committee of Safety? Well, everything affects the Committee of Safety because this is knowledge that when you're in the Committee of Safety and you're fighting this tyranny, if you have this knowledge, you become that much more powerful. That's why we need to educate ourselves. We need to know the Constitution. You know, we need to know our civics. And then you need to know your enemy. This is your enemy right here. You get to know this. And you know what? Your enemy, let me tell you something, they're pretty damn pathetic. It's ridiculous. You read this thing, you see how ridiculous they are. They make contradictory statements throughout the thing. They contradict themselves overnight, within two sentences of each other, you know? And so I'll tell you what, they're all smoke and mirrors. They're very easy to shoot down. You know, with just a little bit of knowledge, you can really blow them away. And when this stuff all becomes common knowledge, they're done. You know, it's like the code is getting cracked. Every day another piece of the code is getting cracked, you know. So at least in America, you know, and you know, Donald Trump needs to know this stuff too. You know, this is good stuff for him. I think we should send this particular research to him so that he understands that. Look, at these judges are running him around. He may know that he doesn't have to listen to them. And he may just be playing a game with them right now because I think a lot of times some of the stuff he's doing is letting them hang themselves and flush themselves out. You know, I mean, he's kind of crazy like a fox in certain sense. Look, he left a lot of Obama people in their place, and I was like, why would you do that? Well, and then they're falling like dominoes, aren't they? He's taking them out one by one. He's giving them a chance to hang themselves, and he didn't have to wait very long. They're doing it, each one by one. They're shooting themselves in the foot. And I think that was a smart thing to do. You know, you come in and clean house and just fire everybody. And they say, oh, yeah, well, you know, you got a Republican agenda, blah, 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 blah. No, let them do their stupid thing and let them disobey him, let them step outside of the law, and then fire him, right? Makes sense. I mean, why did the king hold court? What does Thornton say about court? The king didn't need to hold court. He was the sovereign. He was the sovereign. The people weren't sovereign, but he held court anyway. Because when he wanted to take somebody's head off or punish somebody, he needed the people to be behind him. It was a show, right? So that's what Donald Trump is doing. He's doing a show for the people because you need the people to be behind you. So if you're going to make executive decisions with executive orders, you've got to have people understand why you're doing it. I mean, look, at Obama made all kinds of executive orders. We could take, do this, do that, do this, take your guns, take your food, do this, you know, for no reason. All because of terrorism. Look, Donald Trump, when he goes after these people, you're going to know exactly why he did it, because he's going to let them shoot themselves in the foot, and then he's going to go after them. I think that's smart, you know. Let them do the thing that he's going to get rid of them for in the first place. Let them do it and show the people. Well, I got rid of him because he did this. He can't do that. He doesn't have that authority. He stepped outside of this. That's treason. That's this. That's that. And this is what we need to know. This is what the average American doesn't know. And, you know, they use terms like United States. They never say United States of America. You see, because that's their charter, the United States, not United States of America.
Gerard, well, I was watching about 10 minutes of the hearings on splitting up the 9th District today with Chavez and a couple other senators, and I couldn't believe it. This one senator sitting there insinuating that the 9th District followed the Constitution better than the Supreme Court. They don't have a clue what's going on in the federal district courts. They don't. They don't.
The 9th District follows the Supreme Court better than the Supreme Court?
It follows the Constitution better than the Supreme Court. I fell out of my chair.
Well, when he says the Constitution, what's he talking about? He's talking about his charter. He's not talking about the Constitution of the United States. He's talking about something completely different.
No, the senator was talking about the Constitution of the United States. He was insinuating, questioning a federal judge, a Ninth District judge, insinuating that the Ninth District follows the American Constitution better than the Supreme Court.
Well, he obviously doesn't know the American Constitution. The Constitution.
So they don't know the Constitution. They don't have an idea what's going on out here in the Wild West. I'll tell you that. They don't have a clue. So they're in their own bubble.
Is it the Constitution of the United States or for the United States?
Yeah, I was going to say, if we play the There's the Two Constitutions game, then it makes you wonder, is it the corporate charter U.S. America that you can find on the online digitized law, United States as a corporation, or is it the United States for America, like you just said? Yeah, maybe they do abide by the Constitution, that other Constitution, better than the Supreme Court.
Their own Constitution, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he never read the real Constitution, that guy, and he thinks that is the Constitution. I don't know. I mean, who knows? But it's all bullcrap, you know? And it would be very easy to show how the Ninth District violates the Constitution on a daily basis. You know, to make a stupid remark like that, nobody rebutted him?
No.
That's pretty sad.
No, that is sad.
Any, no congressmen, no senators that know the Constitution well enough to rebut a jackass statement like that. I'd stand up and say, that's a jackass statement. You know, how about this and how about that? How's that following the Constitution? You know?
Say, Gerard, can I ask David there, they have another Constitution on one of these legal sites? They actually show the Organic Act one? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if you go to, I want to say LawFind or one of these sites here, I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. I saw a link off a research site I was doing one time, and it actually says that the United States is the corporate charter, and it's a corporation. The United States is a corporation. Now, it's not the same United States for America that we know, the 50 republics, the original United States for America, but the United States of America does have a corporation charter. Now, before I go too deep off the deep end of all the fiction stuff that can be kind of hairy at times, you know, that's why the states are subservient to the federal government now, because they're nothing but subchartered entities of corporate United States, and you can go way off the deep end on a lot of that stuff. Some of it has some validity, some of it doesn't. Like you guys always say, John and Gerard, you can't go in the court and try to argue that. They'll never admit to it, even if it is true anyway. But it is no doubt. I mean, I think it's LawFind or something like that, but the United States is a corporation. But I think they're talking about the corporate charter through the District of Columbia, and it's not our Constitution.
Right.
You start chasing that too much, and then you're going to start getting into the, well, since the Civil War, you know, and the Trading with the Enemies Act, you know, we've got this new Congress, you know, the original Continental Congress was never completely disbanded properly, and you can start bunny trailing off into a whole lot of that there, which, you know, some of it.
Well, yeah, not giving credibility to the fiction means not giving credibility to the things that they did that make them feel like they have credibility.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you could say, like you just said, like, you know, oh, well, it was never disbanded since the Civil War. First of all, it never had any authority to begin with. So who gives a crap if it was never disbanded?
Well, they were talking about the Congress. The pre-Civil War Congress never actually recessed or whatever, I said adjourned properly or whatever. So there's arguments that technically it still should be the legitimate Congress, and that the people, you know, these people that, like Anna Von Reitz and stuff, we can come back and reinstate our Congress, and the other organization that the FBI cracked not too long ago, the United States for America, the Republic for the United States of America, RUSA, I think was their acronym. That was another one that was taking that whole angle again, you know, and so that's what I'm saying.
I'm not talking about that specifically. That's part of it, yeah. But this business that we're still under the Liber Code, which puts us under martial law because it was never repealed.
Yeah. 1933 Trading with the Enemies Act and all that stuff.
You're giving the fiction credibility. They had no authority to do that in the first place. So why would you say we ceased to be after that? No, that was a fraud. It never had any power to begin with. So why would you go by it? Why would you hold any? Look, just start doing things the right way. Even if you were doing them the wrong way before. You know, nullification means you ignore it. You nullify it. You don't need to have a vote, and you don't need to make sure, you don't need to have a popular vote to repeal an unconstitutional thing because it never was, it was smoke and mirrors to begin with. That's what not giving credibility to the fiction is, because they got all this smoke and mirrors out there, and instead of walking through the smoke, you're like, you stop like it's really a wall, and it's not a wall. It's all smoke.
That's what gets me so excited about NLA and the whole idea that we could ultimately have citizens' common law grand juries again like we did, you know, back in the day. Because then, like you said, the fiction can be exposed and it can be ignored and it can be officially voided by the people, you know, who are the rightful administrators of the law in the court.
I was talking to John about this today. They didn't make a statutory process to get rid of a judge. They give them lifetime appointments, and then they got self-appointed immunities and all this other baloney. They said, we can't get rid of them. We need 2/3 of the Congress and all this crap. No, you don't. All you need is an indictment by the people, an indictment from a grand jury. They're done. There's your method right there. Get a grand jury of the people and indict the son of a gun, and he's done. And then prosecute him.
Bad behavior.
Your answer right there. That's right. He's in bad behavior. We don't need a statute. We don't need 2/3 of the Congress. Look, he can have his lifetime appointment as long as he's in good behavior. And his lifetime is as long as what the people say his lifetime will be, which is you're done, buddy. You're out of there. Get the hell out. Boom. You've been indicted. You broke the law. You're in bad behavior. And that's why they don't want these grand juries. You know that, because they can't control that.
Mm-mm.
They got to get their cronies in there, and they got to get them in there for life, and they got to make them feel comfortable to do their bidding. And so they got to make them believe that they are immune from any kind of consequences from anything that they do for the New World Order. And the common law grand jury flies in the face of that. Completely upends that whole thing and takes the leg out from under it and tilts it over, doesn't it?
Because we don't get bought out with political favors like all the other state-bought grand juries, yep.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, Gerard, the example of the grand jury being independent, the one from Prohibition or the ones that come from Prohibition, do you know of other examples? And have you come across them yourself? Do you have proof of them where we actually use the grand jury or, you know, around 1900 or before then? Do you know of other examples
There were grand juries that did things on their own in the 1940s. And they used to call them runaway grand juries because they called them that then? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had grand juries that were assembled that understood what grand juries were, and they had somebody come and bring evidence, and the grand jury went off running doing that or a couple other things, and they got, you know, right away they didn't like it. They tried to fight it. Now, New York State, they tried to get rid of the grand juries, and there was a big battle, and it was back in the turn of the century sometime, in the early 1900s, 1930s or whatever, 1940s. It was after the war, I think, or, you know, it might have been 1938. I don't remember, John. I know John was researching it. And a group of people got on it, and they ended up changing the New York Constitution, and they made the grand jury actually stronger in New York because they were exposed. And it backfired on them. They ended up putting in the Constitution that the grand jury would never be abrogated or something to that effect in our New York Constitution. And that was that battle at that time when they were trying to take control over that system. Now, they've done a pretty good job of taking control over that system, but there, we still look at it. That's our fault. That's your fault. That's my fault, because we don't go in. It's right in our Constitution, so all we have to do is proclaim it and use it. We're Dorothy. All we got to do is click our freaking heels together, and it'll be done, you know? You had the power all along, Dorothy, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. So, that's why we need to teach this stuff, because the more people that do it, the more that it will be accepted and acceptable.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me
ask David one more question. I'm sorry?
I said, I love U.S. versus Williams. I think it's so powerful.
Yeah, it is. It totally is. David, you had mentioned that, because I guess I've just gotten a whitewash, that Islam, you know, it's the same God. What's the big deal? It's always the same God. But you said, and can you lead me to this information, maybe online or something? You said that they don't worship our God. They worship what sounds like a pagan god, a moon god.
Allah is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jehovah, Yahweh, as some would call him. But no, it's not. And you can pretty much discover that they said that they'll recognize Jesus as a prophet. And they recognize him, you know, as the spiritual leader of Christianity. But Allah, just the Quran in and of itself, what it says about Allah and Muhammad, you can tell that the stories don't correspond and line up with any biblical accounts of Jehovah God. So that in and of itself, the testimony of their own material should confirm that. To my knowledge, and I've never read the Quran cover to cover, I don't even think they even admit that they are. Now, the globalists and the one world religion people, the ones that want a, you know, one world united religious system, would tell you that we all worship the same God. And, you know, right along with that, all roads lead to Rome theology. But it's not. And further proof would be this. You talk to any devout Muslim, who do they want to kill off? The Jews and the Christians. So, you know, I mean, that if we worship the same God, why would they want to do that?
Exactly. Okay. Excellent.
Look,
there's a guy,
and if I can find it, I will. I'll Google it now and see if I can find it. And his name is Shuba Walla or something to that effect.
Yeah, he's on Facebook a lot too.
And he's a Palestinian, you know, Muslim that converted to Christianity. And he said, I read your Bible. He said, and because he wanted to kill Christians. That's what he wanted to do. He believed he was like St. Paul, where St. Paul was killing Christians, you know, sanctioning it, and maybe even doing it. And he said, and I realized that my Allah was your Lucifer. He said, I got that from your Bible, reading your Bible. He realized that I was worshiping Satan, because that's who their God is. And he shows you in the Quran, and the words that they use and the terminology that they use, and you can go back to the biblical terminology, and the biblical terminology identifies Allah with Satan.
That's powerful.
The sky and everything. I'm telling you. I mean, it's really, there's no doubt about it. And he figured it out. And, you know, I don't know why he's still alive, because they hate people. They hate their own people that turn on them. But he's very good.
Well, if you ever hear about a Muslim, you know, that's deep into the Islamic faith that actually has converted to biblical Christianity, you know, talk about a spiritual awakening, man. It's almost a miracle for them people to come out of that, just like any other cult system like that. They're so brainwashed and raised and born into that, and, you know, taught to, you know, that it's right to kill and murder people that don't believe in their faith. Any of those type of religions where they go to that extreme, for them to get converted into biblical Christianity, which teaches the opposite. We don't kill people because they don't want to convert to making Jesus Christ their savior. We don't do that as Christians, you know, but, you know, it's powerful. And I've seen the testimony of a few of them, you know, where they'll make YouTube videos, you know, Allah's a false god. I was lied to, you know. Allah is Satan, just like Gerard just said, you know, and Muhammad is a liar, you know. And I was like, wow, you know, this is just blows my mind, you know. I mean, Holy Spirit gets a hold of somebody and changes their life and comes and lives inside of them. That satanic spirit leaves pretty quick. Anyway, I know this isn't a Bible study, but I appreciate you letting me share that because, no, that's powerful.
No, thank you.
Here
I
it is. Here, his
thank
name
you.
Is his. Oh, his you. Name is Walid Shubat.
Mm-hmm.
Walid Shubat. Shoebat. And it says he was a Palestinian American born in the West Bank to an American mother who converted to Christianity from Islam. Shubat has claimed that he used to be a Palestinian Liberation Organization terrorist in a CNN television interview. Now he's got some really pretty good YouTube videos where he goes and expounds upon, you know, what radical Muslim is, Islam is, rather. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because he speaks the language, he understands, you know, he gives these antidotes about how he's in a restaurant and there was a rabbi and a priest in there because there was something going on and they had this ecumenical thing. And he says to the waiter who was a Muslim, and he says, "Hey, what do you think of this, the Jew and the Christian?" And he says, "Well, yeah." He says, "We serve them and they'll eat together." He said, "But they don't realize that when it comes time for jihad, they're the ones that are going to be on the menu, you know." So he gives you all the stuff that he has been is able to do because he speaks the language and he can move amongst them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He says super. Because they're only non-radical until they build up enough of them where they know that they can radicalize and take over. Then it's jihad. Then they'll cut your head off.
Can I share an update on something COS or COS attempt related there, Gerard?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you guys know that you know, I've been talking about my sheriff off and on ever since I've been coming to these meetings, and how I've got what, you know, which by all accounts of my personal meetings with him and everything appears to be somebody that we can convert over to a full 100% our side, but we just don't have the people in the county behind him yet. And so at any rate, I've been working with another one of our NLA leaders here to craft together a flyer for the coffee talks that I was telling you guys a month or two ago back that he does on a regular basis. His first one's going to be April 1st this month, this upcoming month. And, there's a proposition on a special election that will be held 4 days later to call for, you know, a new prison system so they can get more federal prisoners to run through, to talks about how the sheriff's department's completely understaffed, how, you know, there's other, you know, they used all kinds of good studies on federal crime statistics, blah, blah, blah. I won't drag this out too much, but anyway, they make a good point in a few areas with traditional wisdom of thinking, yeah, you know, this is a no-brainer, one half of one cent tax increase, first time in 25-plus years, who wouldn't want to be more safe and secure? Well, this other NLA member that I am working with, he's helping me word a flyer that will just basically get people to think and then, of course, direct them to the National Liberty Alliance site. They can find out more information about the COS if they want. I'm even thinking about maybe just putting my name and number on there in case they want to contact me directly as well. But it's geared towards hopefully cracking open a genuine opportunity to maybe even just get one or two or three people, and then hopefully the ball starts rolling and we can get the COS finally going here. But the people are definitely against a tax increase. You know, our county jail has basically, and staff, my sheriff told me that the staff itself only survives over there because of the federal prisoners that we house in there. But ironically, the federal prisoners that we house now, I talked to one of their sergeant deputies yesterday at the gym, and the guy said there's like 20-some-odd prisoners per jailer there. I mean, if they wanted to overthrow the place, they could do it at any time. So, you know, our Brainiac County Commission thinks the idea is to get a bigger prison so they can also have more room for records and data storage, hire more sheriffs, they've got a little scheme set up to where they're going to free up enough money to hire more deputies and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I got together with this other NL leader, and I'm intentionally not mentioning his name because he can toot his own horn if he wants to. But the wording of this flyer is going to be impactful. It's just going to be a matter of, I'm basically presenting him an option. Hey, you can pay another half a cent sales tax, or you can have more crime and, feel less safe and secure in our county. And then I said, or you could have neither of those options. And then, boom, it starts to roll it out. I don't have the flyer in front of me, and I don't want to dominate the whole conversation to read it. It's nice, concise. I'm hoping it does some good, and I can come back and give everybody a inspiring story about, hey, maybe you can get your own sheriff to do something similar, have some kind of public coffee talk and talk to the people and let him hear what the concerns of the people are. But this whole proposition that's going to be on that ballot and the timing of this and everything is just almost like a freebie, as far as opportunities go. We'll see how it pans out. I'll let you guys know one way or another.
Right.
Anyways, that's what I wanted to share. Hopefully that's inspiring to people. I know there a lot of people live in areas where the sheriffs aren't open, where they're, anything but responsive, and or you've tried to talk to them and tried to get them to take the material and look at it and read it and maybe not as responsive. I'm very fortunate to live in an area where, by appearance sake anyway, but we'll see what happens. It doesn't happen without the people, so we'll see what happens.
Yep. Okay. Anything else, anybody? We're getting down to the bottom of the hour here, or the top of the hour, however you want to look at it.
Thing you were saying about Trump, and you're talking about the king and his court, he's making a show for the people. I think I see what you're getting at. It does seem like he is doing that. He's getting the people behind him. Do you think that he, I mean, I know you can only probably guess at this unless, of course, you've got other information, and I'm not asking you to share it. But do you think that he will come to the NLA's or to the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury's conclusion, the same conclusion, and understand that if we don't take back the judiciary, anything that he does in 4 or 8 years will be destroyed, and until we take back the judiciary, and then, as a matter of course, we'll take back the political
process.
All I can tell you is that he
has looked at our stuff. He was interested enough in it that he had it sent to him. How it affected him, I don't know. It seems to me that he has a pretty good understanding of the Constitution, although I see other areas that he falls down in. My feeling is that he's pretty good, but he still needs some education on certain finer points. You know what I mean? He's got a lot of people whispering in his ear. I don't have any inside information, that would lead me to. I can only hope and pray that he continues and that on the right path and on the things where he's wrong, that he gets educated. And I think that he's a big enough man to acknowledge when he does something wrong and retract it and do the right thing. I don't think he has a problem doing that because of his background. You know what I mean? I mean, he's a builder. He's a guy that was a developer. And just think about it. When you're building a building and you find a mistake, you fix it, don't you? And I mean, that's what his experience is, to make it right. So I'm just hoping that, and I think he's the right guy for the job. I don't think we've had anybody before or since him that is in a better position to do the right thing than he is. But I think he needs us to stand up and direct him. Look, he has websites. He's got tweets. He's probably the most accessible president in the history of the United States ever. So he's getting information from all over the place. It's a lot to go through it, but at least he's getting it, And I think he does get it. And I think he will. And what he doesn't get, he will get. I think he will come to the understanding. And look, at we're sending him papers through the court. I think he's going to get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah, and I think you're right. He doesn't have a fragile ego. And how many mistakes has he made over the years in the public life? So yeah, he can handle it. You're right about that.
Yeah, I don't think he's. I don't think he gives a crap about the political implications of anything. I mean, he'll come out and say, I made a mistake, and I'm going to fix it. You know what I mean? Whatever. I mean, I read the blueprint wrong, and we're gonna pull that section out and throw a new wall up or whatever. You know, it's part of building something. And look at it, he's been bankrupt a couple times, and look, the guy knows what he's doing. He's a lot smarter than people think he is. I'll be honest with you, I didn't think he was the guy for the job when he first came in. I thought he was the worst guy for the job. I thought, what do we want? What do we want? A guy who's a corporate, billionaire. That's the problem with this nation and this world. The corporations have ruined it. And we're going to put a corporate guy to represent America so that we can go out and do more corporate stuff around the world. I didn't think he was going to be good at all. I thought he was the worst guy in the world. You know, we had our economic hitmen go in and rape all these countries, including Russia. They went in and they raised Russia's economy, you know.
Thank you, George Soros.
Yeah, exactly. And so I said, is this the guy we want representing us? You know, Russia's over here trying to get back on their feet. I was never a Russia-phobic. I mean, maybe early on. I mean, I look at my parents were John Birch members, and nobody screamed more about the communists than the John Birchers. I mean, I understand Stalin, and I understand Marxism, and I understand what their platform is, and I understand. But when I got looking at Russia, and I met people from Russians that come over from Russia, and I started I realized that America was more Russia than Russia was. You know? And then when I hear Putin saying stuff, when Obama did stupid stuff, and Putin would say, I don't know what he thinks he's doing. We tried that crap for 80 years, and it doesn't work, and he's acting like it's a new idea. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, you know? I mean, so much stuff that Putin said that like off of the cuff, sort of shooting from the hip, was so right on. I was like, holy crap! I said, they really have had enough of communism. And then I see him in a Russian Orthodox church making the sign of the cross. I said, what's wrong with this picture? I mean, I don't care what his religion is, but a Russian president, Russia has no religion. The president is the god. You know, there is no god besides the state.
They think they're a god.
What's that?
I said they may think they're a god, but there's nobody. They all think they're gods, but
I understand that, but they don't. Yeah. They don't. They're not part of any religion. They don't. In other words, they don't acknowledge an all-powerful god. Now, if you're in the Russian church making the sign of the cross and the Russian Orthodox Church. That is the God of Abraham, and you know what I mean? That is that God that our Constitution was founded under. And for him to do that fulfills a prophecy that says that the king of the north would be no respecter of the gods of his fathers. Well, who was the gods of his fathers? Stalin, right? Lenin.
Yeah.
Those are the gods of his fathers.
You know, Brent talks about that in his book, how it was Russia's whole goal to be the third Rome. That was their whole goal. He talks about that in Excellence of the Common Law, gives historical background for it too. So yeah, you're right. You're exactly right.
I'm talking in reservation. I don't know that he doesn't have a plan, because nothing would surprise me today than lengths that people go through to get on top. But I find it hard to believe that everything that he's done so far and everything he says and the restraint he showed over Syria and the different things that we did to him to goad him into war and how he held back, I got a lot of respect for that. So, you know, to me, if you walk like a duck and you quack like a duck and everything else looks like a duck, you're probably a duck. I don't think you can fake it that much, you know. You can only fake so far. And from what I see, I think they had enough of that baloney, and I think the people were sick of it. And I think America, you know, we put our worst foot forward with this New World Order, with the Bushes and all of them. You know what I mean? That whole thing. Well, since Kennedy, Johnson. I mean, that's downhill from there. They were, you know, that's what we've been doing. We've been nation building. We've been going in, dealing drugs, and running our capitalism. You know, not that capitalism is a bad thing, but it can be bad. It can be bad if you do it in the wrong way. It can be bad in the way that we did it through the world. You know, we always, America was always the shining light, the beacon. You get the book, The 5,000-Year Leap, and you understand who we were when we came out of England.
But there's been so much injustice in this world for certain people, you know. So, I mean, so what was good for you and what you may feel is good for you is not good for other people. And people have suffered a lifetime and still going on with that. But I just had a message to give to you, Gerard. You wanted to speak to Charlie because he wanted to put you on TV. I asked you to call him, and he said you have to contact him like almost a week beforehand. So I will give you his number. And he wanted to know, do you do the Skype?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
He said they could put you on the air. They will, and whatever you want to talk about, you, John, you and John and whomever, pertaining to the National Liberty Alliance, and then they will give you a tape, and you can have it put on the website, Skype, or whatever the case is.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay. He called me, and so you have his information. Because one of you called
him last
week.
I've got his phone number.
Okay.
You have
so
his phone number?
Yeah, I talked to him for a second tonight, but he had to run, so we didn't finish it yet.
Okay, because he told me to get back to you, so I said I would.
I saw you tried to get me this week, Crystal, and I wasn't around when you called. I saw on my Skype you had tried to call me. I wasn't ignoring you. My sister died this week, and I'm making arrangements.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that. I'm very sorry.
You know, and the services are Sunday. So amongst everything else, I've been running around and not. I've been a little bit out of touch. You know, I mean, I'm hard to get anyway, but it's been worse this week. Plus, we had the blizzard, so it's like.
Yeah, same here. That's what I'm seeing.
Messed
and,
up,
because there's some things going on with me also. But I told him yesterday, I believe I spoke to him, and I said I would be speaking to you. So, because I guess normally
that's smart to catch me here where you know I can't get away.
No, all right,
it's
that's
what these things are all about, right?
Right, and he said, what does he say? You got to let them know almost like a week in advance because they have to, you know,
so they
can get the whole thing set up and your timing because are you on the East Coast?
Yes.
Okay, all right, so we're on the same time. So he wanted to probably get you set up next Friday.
Yeah.
You're going to be the other half of my brain on this one. Don't let me forget. Let's get together with John and discuss this.
Okay. Yeah, we talked about it once before.
Yeah.
I know, but the ball gets dropped, so.
Yep.
And once you do that, I also got the other stations. So once you want to go, you know, public with it, but they will definitely do this for you. And they'll give you the copy of the tapes.
Good.
When you record
it. Good.
Okay.
Does that mean I have to go buy a suit and a cowboy hat?
Well, whatever.
Absolutely.
but do me a favor. Keep all that political stuff because you know what? I got a lot of other people that is going to be signed up, and we are hopefully getting it into the schools. And I got three more other agencies that deal with teens, you know, and we're going to get the parents and the teens and all that in this. For the National Liberty Alliance, and we want to do a work experience out of this, you know. So it would be hopefully accredited to the kids. And what John had mentioned, that once you take the test and stuff like that, you know, that he will waiver the fee. So that's a big plus. And so everybody wants to jump on board for a work experience and all that. And I said, a part of the work experience, we want to get the young people into the courtrooms, and that will be a part of their credit, you know. So when the school is out and for the summertime, you know, it will be like a course. It will be almost like a college course for them to take. So they're very excited about it. And that's what I want to
share. What a novel idea, getting the high school kids into the courtroom. What a great idea.
Yeah, so, you know, because school's going to be coming out with spring break, and this will be a part of their summer course. So we got the three courts, and they'll be sitting in. And, you know, and even if it's an hour a day, and we'll try to get them in like 5 hours a week, you know. So that will be a part of the work experience. So they'll be learning the terminology, getting familiar, you know, and they'll see, they'll be able to almost point out what's right and what's wrong once they start learning the classes, listening on the calls. And then when they go on the courts and say, well, wait a minute, we learned this, this, and this, you know. And the test I give everyone who's the highest person in the court, none of them knew it was a sheriff, you know. So it's like, oh. You know, you give
Crystal,
them a little...
just remember that if people don't like Trump, then everything that NLA teaches is that's as much motivation as anyone should have, because you can bind him down with the chains of the Constitution. Just tell them that way if they don't like Trump, because the president is basically feckless in the states if you know what your rights are. So I'm just telling
you,
there's an angle
you
can
but
take.
But you know what? The problem, and as I said, and I hear and I listen to all, okay? I always had to listen to people from my profession where I worked, at schooling, tax, all that, you know. And what he does and says, a lot of people don't even want to hear his name. When he had the sheriff down there in D.C., it was four weeks ago. And when he started talking offenses about the judges, yeah, whatever you want to call them, I said, okay. So he did get the message about who's the highest in the court, because nobody in the right mind would have ever said what he would have been saying pertaining to the judges, you know. And that's the only thing I may put out there, because a lot of things he does say is offensive. I deal with children. I deal with people and all that. And, you know, I deal with all ethnicities. And it's horrible how he will speak down about people, which is wrong, because you know what? He's not God. The grand creator, Jehovah God, created everybody. There's only one supreme being, and it's son, Jesus Christ. There's one earth. And for some of the people that talk offensively to other people, there's good and bad in all, you know. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. And unfortunately, with all this mess going on in the world, it's all about pure greed when you get down to it, including the ones in charge. But right now, we're all dealing with this crisis and stuff like that, you know. We pick and listen to what we have to, but I don't want to sit there and...
Yeah, man cannot be trusted. That's clear.
That's right. Do not be
what?
Tell me, what's that old saying? Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. And don't be wise in your own eyes, because our eyes and heart are the worst treacherous thing of all. And that's right there stated in the Bible. And even in Psalms 37, and read Habakkuk and Zephaniah. Those three, there's only three... There's three chapters in each one of those. And I'll tell you, when you read that, and it's like, oh, my God. But, you know, that's all I basically had to say, and I just wanted to share that with you. Okay?
Well, I tell you, Crystal, I think when it comes to Trump, I think his main goal when he went in there, and it may have changed because he's just a human, he's just a man.
Oh, absolutely.
But he experienced the worst of this group in
Well,
business,
he came right to our city. He came right to our city before this idiot even decided. And he was so racist and discriminating to the minorities here. He was terrible. And this before, you know, he was very, disrespectful. You know, so, I mean... People have their own personal experiences. I'm like, everybody thought it was going to be a joke, but as I said, you know, his mouth, he speaks from the heart because he's 70 years old, and I did nursing and all that. And, you know, once a person thinks and feels, you can't change their way, you know?
Yeah.
He is who he is. And I will say this much. When he started running, I said, well, you know what? He never lied about the way he felt. And that was true. People wanted to go up on me and said, listen to little Donald. He never lied. He told you exactly what he was going to do and how he felt, you know?
Right.
I
and
mean,
that was refreshing after the other three or four that we've been through, you know?
Well, Obama, they didn't really give him a chance because they didn't like him because of the color of his skin. But you know what? As I said, and this one here, He speaks his mind, and he's saying whatever he feels on my. Some things are right, and some things are wrong. But I'll tell you one thing that I can appreciate. He shook a lot of people up that was doing a lot of illegal bullcrap. And one thing I like watching on TV, that America agreed on MSNBC. You know, I said, oh, my God.
Well, that's what my point was, is he had an agenda for the things that he experienced that were wrong when in business.
Yeah, but he was the biggest crook of all, because look at the illegal foreclosures, flipped his house, all the bankruptcy and things he filed for, and guess what? He still owns 500 businesses, you know? All the rest of us are losing our stuff, so I'm not giving him no pat on the back, because if we got to pay, why in the hell does he got to pay? He can afford to pay, you know?
Because he was playing the system, but I think he understood. I think he came to an understanding on that system, what was wrong with it.
Well, see, you know what? I don't think he's the sharpest tool in the shed. What he was smart about, he surrounded himself with smart people that showed him how to do the illegal business, you know?
Right.
And when all the people he surrounded himself with, look what happened during the election. Those same ones that probably helped him, probably even including Hillary, he tore them all a new one. You know, he was the only one who didn't have loose lips. He used his loose lips when he went to annihilate them all. That's why they all fell by the wayside, because he had something on all of them.
Well, that was good. They deserved it. So
yeah, they all did.
Yeah,
you know.
So that's a good thing when it happens. But we'll see what happens. Look, we're living in crazy times, and it's
We're in the last days of things.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just wanted to share that with you, because most of the time I said, let me stay awake, because if I fall asleep, as I said, because Monday night I didn't have the new number, you know, but I just wanted to make sure that I got you. So, but please call him either tonight, tomorrow, whenever, so you could get your time set up. And he was asking, I said, I don't know whether he had Skype or whatever, you know, so.
Yeah, we'll call him one day next week. We'll call him.
No, call him in the earlier part, because he got to get you set up for it.
Right.
So nobody else. He wants to get you to the time slot. So if you call back tomorrow. Oh, you said you got the funeral this week, right?
Right. I got a funeral on Sunday, actually, so.
Okay, so maybe if you can get him Monday, because I think they said that.
Well, I don't know. Is he around? I could call him on the weekend. That's not a problem.
Yeah, he probably is.
I mean, I don't mind doing that if he's around. But if I got to do it during business hours, then I won't.
Oh,
I
don't think he's working
tomorrow.
I think he does real estate, whatever. But I gave you his numbers, right?
Right. Yeah. So we'll call him. I'll have Dan remind me, and I'll try to get John on with me, and we'll discuss.
Yeah, because I spoke to John briefly, and I forgot to mention it to him. I said, "Oh my God!"
Right.
So let me let you gentlemen know.
All right. So that's good, because any exposure we can get, that's always a good thing.
And then I got, and after you do that, then we'll work on get the other ones over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that
okay.
The Baltimore Crystal.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
Good.
Okay. You just start off with that, because that one there, once you do that one, you know, I know you'll have it all together and tight, then the whole thing can go basically viral.
Right.
Okay. All righty.
See what happens.
All righty.
Thank you, Crystal.
You're welcome.
Well, that's all I have, if nobody has anything else.
You guys, I'm surprised nobody talked about the budget he rolled out, and some of the agencies he started making cuts in, and how all the triggered snowflakes started losing their minds today.
Oh, that's going to be a nightmare, because again, the poor suffer. What are we going to do with the children? And I'm trying to, you know, I thank God I was a part of one of those kids that used to benefit by these programs, you know, because it's the have and the have-nots, you know, so. I think it's going to be a disaster if he does. How are you going to keep on taking away from the poor? He got
to
afford.
You don't think the states and the county governments and even the people can do the same job as what the federal government pisses money away and screws us all over with on a federal budget every year?
Well, you know
excuse me for being blunt, but that's really what's happened.
But they're all liars and thieves. Any state that has a lotto should never have a deficit. So, you know, all the money that they pay for tolls, lotto, and this and that.
That's why you
every
don't need
town.
The federal government to be doing this. They have no business doing it. The states could do it. And the states
exactly.
know what their needs are more than the federal government knows what your needs are.
Exactly.
Who knows, who knows better what New York needs than New Yorkers?
Exactly. And the money that New York just, I was down there, was it 2 weeks ago? And I said, oh, my God, I had to pay, because I took a wrong turn, I had to pay $16 extra for freaking tolls. And I said, Christ, they must make about $1 billion a week just in freaking tolls and lotto.
Yes,
so don't
yes,
tell me there's any deficit.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And the thing is
I mean,
the
any
schools
state
should have gold tiled floors with the money that they're collecting. You know they're stealing all of it. You know, and, you know, they claim that it takes them 98% of the money for administration. Can you imagine having a business where you've turned billions of dollars and it costs you 98% of the money to run your business and only 2% profit? Did you believe
today,
that?
If people knew their economics in 1970, I think I went over this with you before. In 74, we were making $1.25 or whatever per hour. And I'll never forget what my political science economics teacher had taught us. Every year you work, it's 75 to $1 per year. So by the time you're 55, what should your income be? Our income today should be minimum wage is $49 and something cents. Okay?
Yeah, just to keep
we're
up,
back to
right.
the 80s. So, as I said, all these lying politicians, I don't care what they're affiliated with, they're up to par in their income, but everybody else went backwards. You know, crazy Reagan, who had Alzheimer's, said we don't need Social Security. What the heck do you mean? When you retire, your income, you probably get maybe 50%, but as the years go on, your pension declines because the cost of living goes up. So, right now, from our pension, that would have might have started off at 50%, we're down to 20% of our salary in 2017. So, you know, people, they don't teach us how to figure, which we had to learn, and I'm glad because I worked in the tax office, and one thing I was strong at is numbers and figures. You know, we were born at night, wasn't born last night, and it ain't about the ethnicity or whatever the case is. It's about the filthy, filthy rich, the middle class and the poor. There is no middle class now, you know. So, I mean, nobody should be.
Just about gone. Just about gone. And the dollar
exactly.
is worth, if you're lucky, it was worth 4 cents. I think it's down to 3 cents of what it used to be worth back in the 50s. I don't know how we do it. I really don't.
Well, you know what? It's just like everybody got to be careful because who has our best interest in heart? They're in a league. He's making sure his kids are millionaires. No, they're not even millionaires. These kids are almost billionaires, you know, because he got 500 businesses. And it's a filthy, filthy rich and the poor. You can't ever compete. You know what I'm saying? And they can't even fabricate. Just like that crazy nutcase he put in education. The woman is totally out to lunch. And I'm like, you know, okay, I'm listening to what he got to say. But make sure when you have people, you got crazy, what's that guy, who's a brain surgeon. He is so out of touch with reality, you know. It's people with titles. Well, guess what? Satan had a title too, but what's the point? You let people know what they're doing. You know, be open, honest. You know, if you're going to balance minimum wage, where should it be? Can't go. You can't live on $11. Minimum wage for a middle-class person, is $49. Yes, of course they got it. All the lotto and everything.
Yeah, but you know,
lotto's
look, I run a business, and I have employees, and I can't give them $40 an hour. I can't even give them $11 anymore. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but see, you're right, because number one, you got the short end of the stick, too.
Exactly. And I got a match
you know,
that they put in to Social Security and all that. I don't even hire employees anymore. I got my sons working, and I got family. And anybody that's here is a partner. They're not. I don't do employees because I can't. I can't do the work.
Exactly.
I can't do the Social Security. I can't do any of it.
Exactly.
Look, if I didn't do what I do, I'd be out of business. You know, so
you know
what you have to do is you got to change your business model. Look at it, you take on partners.
But,
you got to do things differently. You got to leave this stupid system outside because it doesn't work.
Exactly. But number one, as I said, and I hear what you're saying, and I understand, because the ones who end up losing out, even though you want to sit there and help people, they put everybody in a horrible situation. It's just like when we found out going in the courts, it's like these attorneys are making $50,000 to $100,000 a week, and they're settling cases. There is no debt. I was in court, and they told me they want to settle my case. They told me, oh, you're not going to get anything because you filed bankruptcy. But I had to file bankruptcy to stay in my house, which was everything was a bogus fraud, you know? And I said, I put all the attorney. I said, when did I owe these people this? I want a sworn notarized affidavit, you know? But I found out something else. If you file bankruptcy or any kind of case you have, right, if you are the injured party, they can't take anything from you. And I remember learning that many, many years ago. You know? But as I said, you know, it's just crazy and bizarre. It's just like, wow.
Yep. And they do what they want. Well, I got to go because we're getting on 10:30.
Okay.
Yeah, but can I just say one thing and piggyback on what she said, because I think it's important that I just found out that a lot of people don't know. I just found out that approximately 10 years ago that the federal courts here in Missouri has been offering tours to the courts for the students and what have you. Was you all aware of that?
No.
And
Nope.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. You look at the federal courts of the Western District of Missouri and then do a search for tours. And they're telling you that they conduct 2.5-hour tours, you know, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, say for groups, you know, made up of fifth graders through college, senior citizens, law firms, whatever. And they say they're designed to help people to better understand how cases get to the courts and the different agencies that participate in the judicial process. So, you know, I just think that that's where we need to be trying to get groups and whatever to go there to become more knowledgeable and whatever. So you might just take a look at theirs and in Missouri and see what they say, the federal courts of the Western District, and then go back and look and see if your state is offering that in the federal court.
Well, you know what? That's what we're putting together here in our state right now. Education, work experience, and all that. And
we can't
afford to pay them, but what we're going to try to do is incorporate it as a work experience, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but they're saying that they're not charging for these, for the hours, you know, for them to go there.
No, we're not charging nothing either.
I'm saying to go for the tour, the courts. We're not charging.
Well, they shouldn't charge. We're paying enough.
Yeah. But, you know, you would think that would become a field trip, you know, on a regular, consistent basis with these kids, you know? It should be part of their curriculum, you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's what we're trying to put. That's what we're definitely trying to work on.
Well,
like
Crystal says, you want to make sure that they're learning the Constitution at the same time.
Because it does
no good to bring them to the courts, because there's a lot of evil going on in the courts. If you teach them the section and verse of the Constitution, and then they go to court and they see what's going on, they go, hey, wait a minute. Doesn't the Constitution say such and such? They'll know.
Mm-hmm.
They'll know. And that's now you're pulling the curtain back.
I think we need to put more emphasis on that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing, ma'am.
Great.
Okay. But one other thing, too. With this here, I'm getting teachers, parents,
mm-hmm.
and students.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try to do them all together, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
we need parents or teachers to go in these courtrooms with the kids. And that will be their homework. And we're going to try to do at least 5 hours a week with this. You know what I'm saying? And then we'll just, you know, do the class so we can all discuss and what did they pick up, da, da, da. You know, make learning fun.
Thanks.
Okay?
Yes. Okay. Just want to comment on that. And thanks for what all y'all doing. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, just call me. And just let me know what you found, follow through, and I'll just check with them. Okay?
Okay.
And I'm sorry again about your sister, and everybody have a wonderful weekend, and God bless you all.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you back here same time, same station next week.
Okay.
Thanks, Gerard.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gerard.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Being recorded.